Hi, this is Randy, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions, for Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. Welcome to another episode of The Beauty Brains. I'm Randy Schuler, and today I am particularly proud, especially proud, to be here with my partner, Perry Romanowski.
Well, hello, Randy. That was quite a nice introduction there.
Well, you know, I mean that. I'm very proud today because I just found out that you're going to be immortalized by a group of high school science students in Florida.
Really? And what's that all about?
Oh, so seriously, you didn't see this? I assumed you had seen the note on this already.
Well, I saw something in passing, but right, I'm too modest.
All right, so you're too modest to explain. So for the audience, we received an email from a high school science teacher who gave her students a project to write biographies of famous scientists, and you were one of the scientists chosen. I'm sorry, wow. I don't mean to laugh, but you got to realize that's a little amusing.
Well, especially since I never qualified to get into the American Association of Science Writers like someone else.
Well, I'm maybe a more famous science writer than you are, but you're a more famous scientist, so...
Well, it's the power of Google.
So the science teacher has assigned you as one of the projects for her students, and she apparently is having trouble finding enough information on you. She wants to know, you know, how you got into the industry, where you grew up, and so forth. So she's asking if there's not a particular publication or website where she can find your biography, that she wants to have her students could get in touch with you to, you know, to get the background information. So are you up for this? Are you going to do this for them?
Yeah, sure. You know, I actually did write on my other blog, The Chemist's Corner, I actually wrote sort of exactly that. Like, how did I become a cosmetic chemist? And it, you know, goes through my childhood, how I always liked animals and you know, when you show an interest in like biology, then you take those sort of classes in high school, and then when you get into college and they say, what's your major going to be? And you're like, I don't know, I always did well in science. And that's how I ended up in biology, and then ultimately found that there aren't any real jobs in biology when you get out, unless you're going to get a PhD. But in chemistry, there are lots of jobs, so that's how I ended up there. How did you end up in the cosmetic field? Or into chemistry or anything?
You know, it's strangely enough, it was because of the Spider-Man comic books.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, not to get off on a tangent, but if you read the comic books, Peter Parker, who is Spider-Man, he was a chemist in high school. And I always thought that was, like, the coolest thing. And that sparked an early interest in science. And, you know, here I am a couple of years later, a chemist.
Well, thank God for Stan Lee, right?
So they're going to apparently write something up on you. And then I guess they'll, like, present their papers in class. And it'll be like, you know, okay, Kathy, let's hear what you have to say about Newton. And Billy, what did you find out about Einstein? And Joe, you know, you talk about Perry Romanowski. That's amazingly cool to me. I just can't get over that.
Well, you know, it's a little, it's very cool, and I'm happy to provide any information. But you know, I don't like to talk about myself very much.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, maybe we can do a follow up episode when these reports or whatever, you know, comes out of this classwork, when this, you know, becomes real. Maybe we can follow up on it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think I have actually gotten back to that teacher with some more information. So,
oh, excellent. Well, yeah. So stay tuned, as they say.
Hey, Randy, you know, I was reading through the RSS feeds and things, and I stumbled on this article, which really, really got me annoyed, actually. And you know what annoys me most is it was published by Harvard. Harvard actually held this event a little while ago. where they had someone speak, and this is the title. This is what bothered me. This is the title of the article. It said, "Harmful untested chemicals rife in personal care products."
Oh, wow, wow.
And if you read it, was they're talking about a speech given by Maya Davis, who is the head of health and safety for personal care products company called Beauty Counter. And she goes through all of the standard talking points of, like, the Environmental Working Group or Campaign for Safe Cosmetics about, you know, the hundreds of chemicals you're exposed to every day and the harmfulness and the untested chemicals. It's just all of the regular things. But this is what really bugged me. First of all, what is Maya Davis doing speaking on this? Now, she says she's the head of this company, the Health and Beauty Safety head, but it's a company that she started. Okay.
I mean, did you happen to see? I mean, what is her background? Is she a toxicologist?
Well, that's what I love LinkedIn for. So you just type that in and LinkedIn, okay. And so I looked up her LinkedIn account. And guess what? She was for 5 years. She was the organizing director for the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics.
Okay.
And so you say, okay, what's her? Well, certainly she must have some toxicology background.
Yeah, what's her training?
No. She got a BA in geography. So geography, the map maker, I guess, is telling people about. I don't know, and you know, I don't like to besmirch anybody's, you know, educational background, except when you're talking about the toxicology of chemicals, shouldn't you at least be a chemist background in that?
That's, I think, one of the most complicated areas of cosmetic science. And, you know, we're, you know, seasoned formulators, but even we couldn't speak with complete authority when it comes to toxicological issues.
Exactly. This is like specialist stuff.
Yeah.
And it just, what really bugs me is just all of the, and this is going out to like Harvard Medical, Harvard School of Public Health. I mean, so there's the doctors are sitting there. And it just, why would they even invite somebody like that with that kind of background? I just don't know.
Sadly, maybe it's because there's nobody on the other side of the equation to balance things out. I mean, is there anybody from, you know, the Personal Care Products Council or from the Society of Cosmetic Chemists who are making themselves available to speak? I mean, this person's probably out there pushing their point of view. And so they're like, yeah, sure, come on in and talk to us.
Yeah, you make an excellent point. But there's another point that I want to bring up is this. So she has this company, Beauty Counter, and, you know, she's all about creating safer cosmetic products. So I looked up Beauty Counter. Now, you have to be suspicious of anybody who is telling you that cosmetics are bad, and then, of course, they have their own line of cosmetics, and they want to sell you that, right?
Sure.
Right, and that's what she has. She has this company called Beauty Counter. So you look up beautycounter.com, and, of course, they have skincare, and right away on the front of their website, they say, you know, everybody else's products is filled with toxins. Ours is not. Yeah. So ours is better, right? And so I'm just looking at some of these extremely overpriced cosmetics, if you ask me. Here's the, my favorite is the $64 Lustral Face Oil.
Wow.
But let's look at the $32 Rose Water Uplifting Spray.
Oh, come on.
It's purified water combined to nourish the skin and create a dewy glow. Dewy glow. That was a technician in our lab.
Does it give you the ingredients in the product?
It does. So I'm looking at the ingredients for this 32-hour spray that is 50 milliliters, by the way, which is just about an ounce and a half, right?
You keep calling it 32-hour. Does it make some sort of claim about moisture retention?
I'm sorry. No, I said $32.
Oh.
I was dropping my D's there. But here's what – so this is just essentially a water spray with this rose, you know. So it's just you're spraying water in your face.
That's it. That's all that's in there.
Well, water and rosa damasco water and ethyl hexylene glycerin. So So it's essentially just a water spray with a herbal extract in it.
Okay.
Okay. But they also contain phenoxyethanol.
Ah.
And so I can understand if you're campaigning against toxic chemicals, and then you sell a product that contains phenoxyethanol, which, you know, the FDA says it's according to the FDA, this chemical is toxic to infants via ingestion, so they don't recommend giving it to infants, and it can depress the central nervous system and may cause vomiting and diarrhea. Now, I personally do not see a problem with phenoxyethanol. I think it's a perfectly safe thing. But I just don't understand how a person who claims that she's, you know, only wants the safest of safe things could use a compound that is known to have these toxic, quote, effects when exposed to certain people. So I just don't understand the hypocrisy.
It's easy. It's paraben-free.
But you know, it also is amusing to me because she states in her talk that, you know, of the thousands of the, you know, 15,000 ingredients that are in cosmetics, you know, thousands of them have not been tested.
Right.
And she includes in her line of cosmetics some of those thousands that haven't been tested for safety. It just is the hypocrisy.
It's a little hypocritical. I did find, I did see that article. I did find one true statement that I would embrace, though.
Okay, what's that?
She said, and I'm quoting here, that companies are allowed to label their products organic, natural, or hospital approved based on their own interpretation of the terms. And that's totally true. Those terms, organic and natural, don't really mean anything at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than that, the rest of the article was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. But we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And there you go. Okay, I feel better about this rant. And if Harvard wants somebody to speak about the safety of ingredients. Well, you know, the other thing is, like, one of us, even you and I, are not the best people to talk about this. Say we need some toxicologists.
Yeah, exactly.
To talk
somebody
about
who's truly an authority on that specific area of science.
Right, but to say that, you know, cosmetics aren't tested for safety, they are tested for safety. It's illegal to sell an unsafe cosmetic.
Right, and again, the article repeated that old rant about them cosmetics being unregulated. And if you go back a couple of episodes, we completely busted that myth. So
right. Yeah. All right. Well, it's like trying to sink rubber ducks out there, right? You push one down, another one comes up.
Just keep trying.
So. Our work is never done.
Well, all right. Shall we move on to a question of the week?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Well, this week we have a question from Heather.
Hey, Beauty Brains. This is Heather from Burbank, California. I've got a question for you. I was recently reading an article on Pop Sugar that said you could make your own anti-cellulite scrub using just coffee grounds and coconut oil. Will the caffeine from the coffee grounds really reduce my cellulite?
Well, that is a fabulous question.
Yes, thank you, Heather.
Yeah, and actually, before we get into answering the questions, if you have a question, feel free to just record it on your smartphone and then email it to us at thebeautybrains.com.
And what's the fee for us answering these questions?
There is no fee, at least not that I know of. Have you been collecting or something?
No, I just keep forgetting. I'm surprised that we put out all this information. There's the website. There's the, you know, what we put out on Twitter and Facebook, and there's the podcast. It's all for free. It's amazing. The only thing we charge for is our book.
You mean it's okay to have lead in your lipstick?
Yeah, the one that's subtitled "And Answers to Other Beauty Questions You're Dying to Know." That's the only thing that we charge for.
Exactly. Yeah,
anyway.
Fortunately, it's fun. So back to Heather's question:
yeah.
Is the caffeine in, coffee grounds caffeine body scrub going to help with cellulite?
What do you think about that?
Well, remember our a previous episode where we talked about anti-aging products and the three questions you should ask about actives.
That's a great framework, I think, to apply here. That's a good idea.
Right, the three Kligman questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in another show, we should talk about Kligman, because remember I was on, I'm going to be on, a show, Science for the People, And I was listening to a show where they talked about Kligman and his testing on skin of prisoners in Pennsylvania. So we'll save that for another time.
Yeah, then it would be interesting.
But his Kligman's questions about whether ingredients are actually work. So there's the three. So number one, is there a scientifically proven way that the ingredient could work, or at least some theoretical way that it would work? Number two is, can the ingredient penetrate the skin to have an effect? And then finally, are there any controlled studies showing that the ingredient works when applied topically to the skin? So let's look at this question from those three standpoints. So you want to take the any kind of mechanism about caffeine and its relation to cellulite?
Yeah, well, actually, there is a proposed mechanism of how caffeine could work. So it's a little complicated to try and explain in a podcast, but I'll give you the abbreviated versions, and then I'll put some more details in the show notes. So here's how it works, right? To get rid of cellulite, you need to increase lipolysis, which is basically breaking down fat, you know, because cellulite consists of fat deposits. So lipolysis is controlled by an enzyme called HSL. And HSL is in turn activated by a material called PKA. Now, you can increase the amount of PKA by controlling another compound called cyclic AMP. I know this is a bit of an alphabet soup, but bear with me. Now, there's an enzyme called PDE that breaks down this cyclic AMP. All right, so to get rid of cellulite, you need to get rid of PDE. And guess what? Caffeine is a PDE inhibitor. So theoretically, at least, So there, I mean, there is a mechanism that could explain it. So theoretically, caffeine reduces this PDE, which gives you more cyclic AMP, which means you will have more PKA, which in turn activates HSL, which breaks down the cellulite deposits.
Well, that sounds so simple the way you put it that way.
So Now, of course, all that is assuming that the caffeine penetrates skin.
Well, that is true. And it also is assuming that whole line of biochemical mechanisms is what causes cellulite, and I wonder how nailed down that the science is in that.
But well, cellulite again are these fat deposits that sort of get tangled up between the collagen fibers and create that mm-hmm. kind of bumpy orange skin effect that you see that's characteristic of cellulite. So again, lipolysis being the process of breaking down fat deposits. I think it's pretty well established that if you can boost lipolysis in that area where the cellulite mm-hmm. is, that you will mm-hmm. break down the cellulite. So I think that piece of it's fairly well buttoned down.
All right. So let's get to that question about caffeine penetrating the skin. So if you need that shot of caffeine in the morning, do you just dip your hand in the cup of coffee? Well, actually, it turns out, after a search of about 50 studies on PubMed, which is an excellent resource for finding scientifically controlled studies involving, you know, health and things, there is some evidence that caffeine does penetrate the skin. Now, they looked at skin penetration of caffeine in a number of ways, and they looked at different vehicles, so like kinds of solvents like water and alcohol and from a gel. They looked at it from different substrates, so in vitro and in vivo, and also in some ex vivo testing.
And ex vivo, I know we've talked about, you know, in vivo is on living, you know, tissue. In vitro is doing it in, you know, in glass, you know, from the Latin, right. In glass. Ex vivo is what they cut off, like, sections of skin and do it that way, so it's sort of a cross between in vitro and in vivo. Is that, am I getting that
right? Exactly. It's sort of a living skin tissue, so okay. It's not actually on a human.
Right. Okay.
So then they also looked at it using different methods. You know, how do you determine that the caffeine penetrated? You can use tape stripping. You ever be part of a tape stripping experiment?
Sounds painful. So they literally just, you know, put tape on your skin and pull off layers and then measure what sticks to the tape, I guess.
Right. And that's actually, I used to do that when I was in the claims department. You'd put tape on your hand and rip it off. And when you do that, it rips off some of the epidermal layer there. And then
it's also
see
a good
what's
way
on the tape, yeah.
It's also a good way to get rid of chest hair.
Hello. And then there's also Raman spectroscopy, which is a little less invasive, where it's just, you know, you use the spectrometer to see how far the compound penetrated.
Mm-hmm.
They also showed some experiments which showed different skin conditions. So looking at intact skin, barrier impaired skin, and skin with and without hair follicles. So there's really no doubt about it that caffeine is one of those ingredients that can penetrate the skin. But of course, you know, it's also going to, whether it's effective or not, is going to depend on, you know, how fast it gets in there and how deep it penetrates. For example, this depends. Like, small amounts of alcohol show that penetration happens in as fast as 5 minutes. But, you know, when you're delivering it from a gel or something larger, it takes, can take up to 6 hours for the same sort of amount to penetrate. So it really depends on the vehicle that the ingredient is put in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we got two of those questions done. So we have the, is there a theoretical way that it would work? And we would say yes. Can it penetrate the skin? We would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess the question is, are there any studies proving that caffeine works when it's rubbed on the skin? And when we're talking about studies, you got to understand who is doing these studies, right? A lot of these skin creams that you'll see, they'll say clinically tested, right? But unless it's tested in a double-blind fashion, you have to be very skeptical of the results. And so when I'm talking about double-blind, to determine whether this would work or not, you'd have to have a product, a cream, that contains the active ingredient, so the caffeine, and you'd also have to have another one that is exactly the same cream, it just doesn't have the caffeine. So that's our placebo control. And then you'd have to run the study where the people who are putting the samples on the skin or on the cellulite, they don't know which cream they're applying, mm-hmm. right? So it's blinded to them. And then when you have the results at the end, that's the only time that the researchers get to know which treatment was put where. And so
the double-blind piece means the people applying the cream don't know which is which, and the researchers giving them the creams don't know which is which until the end of the study.
Right. And of course, the people getting it applied, they also don't know. So, so the question is now... Are there any studies that demonstrate that caffeine, when delivered from one of these creams, has any effect on, on cellulite?
No. Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I mean, there are some in vivo studies that are worthy of mention, but I wouldn't say there are any studies that conclusively prove it. So let me walk you through what I found in the literature.
So, all right.
One study, for example, tested 18 people, which is not a large group, but they measured thigh circumference. So that's a large area of cellulite deposition. So by measuring thigh circumference before and after testing, you can see if you've slimmed the skin down by removing cellulite. So in this case, they did a 30-day test. And they applied a slimming complex, which consisted of encapsulated caffeine, a material called L-carnitine, and some other stuff, to one thigh, and they applied nothing to the other thigh. So right there, that tells you that study doesn't fit our requirements, right? They had no placebo control, so they were only doing something to one side.
Right.
Now, the results of after this 30 days of massaging thigh cream into one thigh... they showed a reduction in thigh diameter ranging from, a little above zero to about 10 millimeters. So that's, about a half an inch, I guess?
Okay, yeah.
So there's two problems with this study. So first of all, they were testing a mix of caffeine and other ingredients, and those were encapsulated to enhance penetration. So that really tells us nothing about caffeine alone.
Right.
And then also, as I just pointed out, there was no control. Now, we know that just massaging skin alone can have a slimming effect. So the fact that you're rubbing a thigh cream into one side and doing nothing to the other side, you would expect that side, even if the cream did nothing or the caffeine did nothing, just from the massage alone, you would expect some slimming effect.
Right, exactly.
So this study, doesn't really prove anything. All right, now another study was placebo-controlled, and it evaluated a mix of caffeine, retinol, and ruscogonine. I'm not familiar with that ingredient. And they used more sophisticated measuring techniques than just thigh diameter. So they looked at using digital imagery. They measured that orange skin bumpiness that we talked about. And the test product showed a 53% improvement in texture. The placebo showed a 14% improvement. So again, even just massaging a plain cream into the skin had some benefit.
Interesting.
They also used 3D ultrasonic imaging to measure the thickness of the dermis and the hypodermis. Remember, the hypodermis is that sort of fatty layer that's below the dermis that kind of anchors it down.
Sure.
In this case, both the test product and the placebo showed some improvement. They also used a cutometer to measure mechanical properties of skin, like skin flexibility. And in this test, there was no difference between the test and the placebo. And then they used laser Doppler flowmetry to measure blood flow. And interestingly, in this case, the test product was actually better than the placebo at increasing blood flow. Even after a month after the test was over, they still showed an increase in blood flow. So it was doing something. Yeah, it was doing something to the vasculature. So, okay, I mean, there are some problems with this study, too. Now, once again, they were testing a cocktail of ingredients, not caffeine alone. So it shows that. And retinol, by the way, there are other studies on retinol that show it's effective against cellulite to some extent. So was it the retinol that did the work? Was it the caffeine? Was it a unique synergistic combination? You can't tell from this study. So, you can't tell it was really the caffeine alone. And then secondly, the results didn't even show clear improvement on all parameters. I mean, it was directionally improved in some of the areas they measured, but not across the board. So it looks a little sketchy that even in this study, which was pretty well designed, that it had an effect. Now, the only study that we could find that was done on caffeine alone was not an in vivo study. That was an ex vivo study, and it was done on swine skin. Mm-hmm. And it only showed positive results when the caffeine was combined with ultrasonic waves. So when they applied caffeine alone to skin, they found it had no effect. When they used ultrasonic waves to sort of force the caffeine deeper into the skin so it'd cause it to penetrate even further, they did see an increase in dermal thickness, which can reduce cellulite, the appearance of cellulite anyway, by compressing the fat deposits.
Right.
So, but again, that was just with ultrasonic waves.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of a, I don't know, you're trying to fit the data to what you wanted to say there.
Yeah, it sounds like. Certainly not clear cut. So, really, we could find no high-quality studies done on caffeine alone that clearly indicated an anti-cellulite effect.
The science on that end is really sketchy of whether caffeine would even work. But even so, now getting to this this scrub that was suggested, let's just assume that maybe caffeine has some effect, right?
Yeah, if it is. So we did see in these studies where they saw a little bit of an effect. Under certain conditions, they were looking at like 3 to 7% caffeine. So a pretty good dose of caffeine. 7%, by the way, is about the most caffeine that you can dissolve in water. So that kind of makes sense as an upper limit. So if you know, do you even get nearly that level of caffeine from this do-it-yourself coffee bean scrub?
Right. So if we squint at the data, to say maybe there's some effect, but only using something like. You know, there's 7% caffeine. So what does, you know, what do coffee grounds have? Now, so before you brew your ground coffee, coffee has about 5% caffeine in it.
Okay.
And so dry coffee grounds, you know, 5%, that seems like it would theoretically
have in the range. Yeah.
Caffeine there. Unfortunately, it's locked up in the grounds. So even if you put those grounds on your skin, it's not going to be able to get to penetrate that way. And so used coffee grounds, they certainly would be moist enough to release the caffeine, but really depending on how you process this, instead of having 5% of the caffeine in there, it has maybe 0.5% of caffeine left. So, in other words, you've pretty much gotten rid of about 90% of the caffeine that was in the coffee beans to begin with. So, either way, using coffee grounds to deliver caffeine to skin is pretty much ineffective.
Hmm.
Now, will this scrub deliver caffeine to skin in a way that might make it work? And so, as we had suggested, caffeine is water-soluble, right?
Yeah.
And now in this thing suggested by Bella Sugar, is they say you want to mix your coffee grounds with coconut oil, right?
But that's the recipe. It sounds yummy.
Right. Yum. It would make a good smoothie, right? But will it make a good skin thing? Well, by mixing the grounds with coconut oil, you're pretty much essentially blocking the caffeine from getting out of the grounds and into your skin. So you're locking the caffeine in, any caffeine that was there, you're locking it into those grounds, right?
Yeah, you're like sealing it in with a layer of oil so it won't get into your skin.
Right. And also the caffeine absorption, it takes time. And so unlike many of the ingredients, caffeine can penetrate the skin, but it's also a slow process, right?
Yeah.
And so the diffusion rate, it's pretty substantial. And, you know, to get through human skin, it's like 2.2 times 10 to the negative 6 grams per centimeter squared of skin per hour. So, you know, to get that caffeine into your skin, it take an hour or two to get sufficient caffeine. And you know, when you're using a scrub, you're not leaving it on for that long, right?
Oh,
so,
wow.
So that's even more evidence that this particular suggestion isn't going to be helpful for people.
Hmm. So let me kind of summarize this in and give her a bottom line. So it looks to me like, if you maximize the amount of caffeine left in your coffee grounds by, you know, brewing them very weakly, and if you use just the straight grounds, you don't put any oil on them that can block the caffeine from getting into your skin, and if you massage the grounds into your skin, because we know massage is an important effect, and if you leave those grounds on your skin as long as you can stand it, at least tens of minutes, maybe an hour or more, and if you repeat this every day for about a month, because the studies we saw were monthly studies with daily application, and if these few studies are true and not just an anomaly, then you might see a slimming effect up to about a half of an inch decrease in your thigh circumference. You know, would you even notice that much of a difference? It just seems like a lot of work for very, very little benefit.
Yeah. I remain skeptical of this suggestion by Bella Sugar. But, you know, cellulite is a problem that almost all women report. And it's a thing that cosmetic chemists, are trying to develop products for. Just nobody has found anything that really helps that much.
Yeah, it's a tough problem to fix.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the best suggestions right now is, exercising and toning. But even that is not effective for everyone.
Yeah, very good. Okay. Well, Perry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous episode.
Yeah, and I'm going to finish up my Diet Dr. Pepper here, which is chock full of caffeine.
Oh. But you're drinking it, not rubbing it all over your body, I assume.
Exactly. It tastes a lot better that way. Hey, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. We're at The Beauty Brains. We love our Twitter followers. And like us on Facebook and validate us in life, as it
were. Right.
And then we also have that book out, right? It's okay to have lead in your lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
Yes, that's right. You can get that at our website or at Amazon or wherever you can find books online.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Perry, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we will talk next week. Now, go make a difference.
It's not the right sign-off line, but...
Sorry, different show.
That's all. just let it go.
Okay.